Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. Lent begins this week. Do you know what Lent is? The word Lent means spring, and it refers to the 40 days before Easter. Christians celebrate Christ's resurrection from the dead on Easter, but for 40 days before Easter, we zero in on the crux, the central thing of the Christian church, which is Christ's death for our sins. I think if you ask me what's the center of the Christian faith, it's the cross. It's the forgiveness of our sins. We're going to look at a story that par excellence is the forgiveness of sins. Would you take out your Bible, turn with me to Mark chapter 2. Nelson Mandela was the black leader of South Africa. He's deceased now, but he would say, "A saint is a sinner who keeps trying." A saint is a sinner who keeps trying. I think a Christian is someone who knows they need the forgiveness of sins every day. So let's see how Jesus practiced the forgiveness of sins. We're looking at Mark chapter 2. Let's pray first. Father, we want to pray that everyone watching this program would come to know the forgiveness of their sins through Jesus Christ. And if somebody's wondering if you can forgive them from something awful they did years ago, God, speak to their hearts now about your heart of forgiveness towards sinners. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And when Jesus had come back to Capernaum, his hometown, several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together, so that there was no longer room even near the door. Here's the first lesson for today. When Jesus shows up, people show up. Or we could put it this way. When Jesus leaves, people leave. Do you know the fastest shrinking denomination in the United States? It's the ultra-liberal United Church of Christ, the Congregational Church. It's common to go to a UCC Congregational Church, and they're praying to God the Mother, and they're teaching that there are many ways to get to God. Jesus isn't the only way. Buddha, everything works. The Bible has myths. Abortion is okay. Homosexuality is okay. And do you know what's happened to the United Church of Christ? In 1960, they had 2 million members. Today, they have 773,000 members. It's just shrinking. This is true for the other mainline liberal denominations, ELCA Lutherans, PCUSA Presbyterians, United Methodists, the Reformed Church in America. The churches that have abandoned Scripture are just shrinking. The good news, do you know the churches that are growing in America? These non-denominational Bible churches that still believe in the Bible. First point is, when Jesus show up, people show up. But when Jesus leaves, people leave. Look at verse 2. And Jesus was preaching the word to them. Here's the next lesson. Jesus shows up to preach the word. In the prior chapter, Mark chapter 1, people are trying to get healed and everything. And Jesus says, "Disciples, let's go to the other villages so I can preach there. That's why I came out, to preach." So the reason the church exists, a big reason, is to preach the word, to preach the cross. That's what Lent's all about. We're going to talk about the cross for 40 days. I always do that at a funeral. And when I preach a funeral, I don't say, "We know Uncle Joe's in heaven because he was such a good man." I say, "No, we're all sinners. We deserve hell. Uncle Joe's in heaven only because of Christ's death on the cross, who made atonement for Uncle Joe's sins." I preached a funeral. I said what I just said, and I got this letter. Actually, this lady didn't send it to me. She sent it to the church and to the denominational officials. She was mad. "My uncle was a good man. In Pastor Brock's sermon at the funeral, I hear of intolerance for other paths to God, that Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius will not save you, and only Jesus will. Where is the tolerance for other religions? How will a wounded world heal with this diatribe being preached from our pulpits? All that was made evident is that Brock believes God is a wrathful, vengeful God. No exclamation point. Thankfully, in my church, we are taught that to sit in judgment of others is a sin. I will pray that Reverend Brock will come to know that God's mercy, not God's wrath, has no end. I wrote her back. Jesus said that he is the only way to the Father, John 14:6. This is repeated elsewhere in the New Testament, Acts 4:12. Is God a God of wrath? Yes. Please read Romans chapters 1 and 2. But he is also a God of mercy, as we find in Romans chapter 3, where Jesus bears the wrath of God for us on the cross so that we can be forgiven. It is true that God's mercy has no end. It is also true that his wrath has no end for those who reject Christ. Jesus is the one who talked about eternal punishment for unbelievers. And then I said, I hope this helps clarify things. My main desire is that people who attend a funeral understand we cannot earn our way into heaven by our good works, but we are sinners entirely dependent on the grace of God in Christ for our salvation. So, Pastor, whether people like it or not, preach the cross. Somebody told me, I think they went to a funeral, and the pastor got up and quoted John chapter 14, verse 6, and Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And he stopped. And she went up afterwards and said, Pastor, why didn't you quote the second half of the verse? No one comes to the Father but by me. And he said, yeah, I know, but I didn't want to offend people. We need to preach the cross, not just Lent, but all the time. Mark chapter 2, verse 3. And they were bringing to Jesus a paralytic carried by four men. And being unable to get to Jesus on account of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. Here's the next lesson. Battle to get to Jesus. These friends had to dig a hole in the roof. They had to battle to get to Jesus, and it was worth it. Listen, I believe every Christian should have a daily quiet time with God where you pray, where you read your Bible, and you might say, well, yeah, but I'm so busy. I got kids to raise, or I've got to go to work, etc. Well, then you got to do battle, but it's going to be worth it. You know, if you think you're too busy to spend time alone with God, do an experiment. Turn off the TV for a week, or say to yourself, today, I'm just going to look at my phone no more than 1 hour a day and see if you don't have time for God. You do have to battle to spend time with Jesus, but it's worth it, as we're going to see here in a minute. Verse 5, and Jesus, seeing their faith, the friend's faith, said to the paralytic, my son, your sins are forgiven. I want you to notice something. It doesn't say seeing the paralytic's faith. It says Jesus saw his friend's faith and he healed him, forgave his sins. So here's the next lesson. God uses our faith to save others. Many, many years ago, I heard an old Presbyterian pastor preach on this verse, and he said, when God looks down and sees you praying for the salvation of other people, he will use your faith and he'll bring them to Christ. That was 40 years ago, more than 40 years ago. And that's when I wrote up my list. These are 3 pages of people that I want saved. And I've been praying for these people for over 40 years. Gloriously, many of them have come to Christ. But do you pray for your lost loved ones? For that person at work that doesn't know Christ? God uses our prayers and our faith to save others. And again, look at verse 5 again. Jesus said to the paralytic, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now that's kind of unexpected. And maybe the friends are thinking, Jesus, we didn't bring him to get his sins forgiven. We want you to heal his legs. So that leads to the next point. Spiritual healing is more important than physical healing. I heard a preacher say, I would rather save one human soul than heal 1,000 human bodies. because you can have your body healed and still go to hell. But I would rather one of you come to saving faith in Christ for all eternity than for 1,000 of you to get healed and go to hell. Spiritual healing is more important than physical healing. Verse 6. But there were some of the scribes, that's the Jewish religious leaders, who were sitting there, and they were reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak this way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Here's the next lesson. Only God can forgive sins. The scribes were half right. What they don't understand, Jesus is God. And here we have one of those stories that start to hint who Jesus really is. I don't think the apostles understood that Jesus was God in human flesh until after the resurrection, and Thomas says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." But you get hints before the resurrection, and here's a big one. The reason Jesus can forgive sins, he is God. And look at verse 7 again. He is blaspheming. And blasphemy, by the way, is the charge that got Jesus crucified. He was charged with blasphemy, found guilty, and they executed him. So here's the next lesson. Before you criticize, it may be God. I mean, instead of criticizing Jesus, these scribes should have slowed down and asked, well, is God maybe talking to us through Jesus? I had a conversation with some friends, and we kind of agreed, sometimes God speaks to us through the people who annoy us the most. I remember years ago, I worked with two other pastors at my church, and one pastor gave a sermon, good biblical sermon. A couple in the church who weren't the most spiritual Christians got very angry because of what he said in the sermon. And the old pastor said, "You know, when you throw a brick into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that got hit." Instead of yelping, the scribe should have slowed down and asked, well, what is God trying to say to us here? I mean, I'm sorry, I thought of the lady who wrote the funeral letter. Instead of criticizing, let's slow down and ask, is God talking to me? Look at verse 8. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that the scribes were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your pallet and walk'? But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," and then he heals the paralytic. Here's the next lesson. Miracles verify the message. How do we know Jesus could forgive sins? Because he can heal your legs that have never worked. Miracles verify the message. You know, we've been doing this TV show for 34 years. We've done it mainly in Minneapolis. The last 12 years we're on around the country. We've had some wonderful interviews. I remember we interviewed a lady who was a prostitute, and now she's a born-again Christian helping other women out of prostitution. We interviewed a lady who was deeply into the New Age movement, it's kind of a witchcraft type of thing as well. Now she's helping people out of the New Age movement. We've had people who were in drug addiction now are walking with Christ, helping people out of drug addiction. The pastor I grew up under said, you can't argue with the changed life. And his point was, that's the evidence that Christ is alive. I mean, are all these people hallucinating? Or is Jesus still changing lives? Verse 10. But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Here's the next point I'm going to make. The church also has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Now follow this. I got an email last week from a lady. "Pastor Brock, how do I respond to my Catholic friend and try to tell her that only God can forgive sins, but she thinks her priest can forgive sins because it says in John chapter 20, where Jesus rose from the dead, he breathed on the disciples and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you forgive are forgiven. Whoever sins you retain are retained. So how do I get through to her? And I basically said, on this one, your Catholic friend is right. And Jesus said this to Peter too in Matthew 16. Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is called the office of the keys, and it's not just Catholics who believe in it. Lutherans do, Episcopalians do, etc. And I'm going to quote Martin Luther from 500 years ago on the office of the keys, the church being able to forgive and retain sin. Here we go. What is the office of the keys? The office of the keys is the special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of penitent sinners, but to retain the sins of impenitent sinners as long as they do not repent. What is confession? Luther's response, confession consists of two parts. One, that we confess our sins. The other, that we receive forgiveness from the pastor or confessor as from God himself. And in no way doubt, but firmly believe that our sins are thereby forgiven before God in heaven. So this is called the office of the keys, where the church either looses somebody, forgives them, or retains it and doesn't forgive them. And you find this publicly in the church. A lot of churches, you go there, and at the beginning of the service, they confess their sins together. Heavenly Father, we confess we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, whereby we justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment, but I'm heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent. I pray thee because of the grace of God, forgive me. That's called the confession, public. And then the pastor does the loosing. As a calder, God the Heavenly Father has had mercy upon us and has sent his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. And you're loosed, and you're forgiven. But the pastor also, and this doesn't happen as much as it should, but if you look in the old hymn books, they used to do this. It's called the binding. And it says this, on the other hand, by the same authority, I say to the impenitent and unbelieving that so long as they continue in their impenitence, God has not forgiven their sins until they come to true repentance and faith of Christ, lest the day of grace be ended. So, publicly in a lot of churches, we confess our sins, and publicly God, through the pastor, looses and assures people their sins are forgiven. So you can do it publicly, or you can do it privately. One of my seminary professors was a pastor, I think, in Washington State. And he said one day he's in the church office, and he goes and he opens the door, and here is a big motorcycle guy with tattoos. And my professor said, I was ready to put my dukes up. I thought he was going to hit me. And he said, Father, I'd like to confess my sins. And my professor said, well, you should know I'm a Lutheran pastor. I'm not a Catholic priest, but come in. And he said the man sat down and confessed his sins, and he said it was pretty awful. But, you know, he was sorry. He was repentant. He wanted to trust Christ. So he said, I put my hand on his greasy head, and I said, I forgive your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then the pastor said, now I want you to know we do this every Sunday at our church. So come every Sunday, confess your sins, receive the forgiveness of sins. Well, he said he got on his motorcycle. He never saw him again. But there was another woman in his church. Christian woman, went to church a lot, but she never could believe that God forgave her for something she did years ago. And she would talk to the pastor about it. He said, one day I just got tired of it. I put my hand on her head and I said, woman, I announce to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he said, after that, she was fine. So there is power in the office of the keys. That's why God gave it to the church. So let me ask you, do you ever confess your sins to anybody? If not, that's way too lonely. I have a couple different people that I confess my sins to, and they assure me that through Christ my sins are forgiven. And, I mean, after church one day, a lady came up, and maybe 40, 45, and tears in her eyes, Pastor Brock and we talk, and we knelt down at the altar, and I had an abortion years ago. And just, you know, I was able to hear her confession, pull my hand on her head. I announce to you that because of Christ's death on the cross and your faith in him, your sins are forgiven. we need this in the church. It can be hugely healing. And I'll add this. If you've got a drinking problem, a drug problem, a pornography problem, a gluttony problem, fill in the blank, you're probably not going to get over that by yourself. You probably need a Christian friend to confess your sins to and to hold you accountable. Or you can join a little group. Google the words, Celebrate Recovery Church. There are these churches all over the country, Celebrate Recovery Church, where you go, you're part of a little small group, you pray for each other, hold each other accountable. There's power in the office of the keys. Last lesson is verse 11. Jesus said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, take up your pallet, and go home. And he rose and immediately took up the pallet and went out in the sight of all, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Here's the last lesson. Forgiveness and healing bring God glory. When people see this, they just start praising God. You know what I think we're going to praise God for in heaven for eternity? The forgiveness of our sins. There's a reason, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. There's a reason that's the most popular hymn in America. I think we will praise God forever for the crux of Christianity, the main thing we preach, which is the cross of Christ by which our sins are forgiven. So I just want to encourage you, as we begin Lent, for the next 40 days, find a good church that has Lenten services. Go and meditate on the death of Christ for your sins, so that when Easter comes around and it's time to celebrate his resurrection, you can do it knowing you're forgiven, you're saved, you're born again. There's something huge to celebrate because of Christ's resurrection and because of the crux of our faith, the cross. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today. Some churches teach you have to confess your sins to a priest to be forgiven. Is this true?
No, I don't think so, because 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can confess straight to God. The Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So yes, God, you can directly go to God with asking for forgiveness. I do it daily. But also, it can be very healthy to go to your pastor, priest, or just a friend. I think any Christian can announce the forgiveness of sins. Martin Luther was a Catholic. He got kicked out of the Catholic Church and started the Reformation. But the Catholic Church was big on the priest is the one that forgives sins. But Luther quoted James chapter 5, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And he said, strange priest, this one another. So in other words, you, Mona, can, if someone is repentant, you can assure them that through Christ their sins are forgiven.
Okay.
But it's a powerful thing and we neglect it too much. Yeah.
All right. If I die before I confess my sins, will I still go to heaven?
Everybody dies before they confess all their sins. We don't know half of our sins. So if I commit a sin and boom, I die before I ask God to forgive, all my sins are covered by the blood of Christ. Past, present, and even future sins, they've all been paid for. So we're saved by grace, not by, did I have enough time to confess and remember all my sins?
That's reassurance, isn't
it?
I have trouble believing God has forgiven my sins. I've done some pretty awful things. What would you say to me?
I would say, have you asked God to forgive you? And normally, yeah, I have. Well, do you believe he forgives you, 1 John 1:9, or is God lying in 1 John 1:9? You got to claim it and believe it. And then it might help for this person to go to a pastor or a friend and talk to them about their sin. It's nice to have somebody else tell me my sins are forgiven.
Get reassurance.
Yeah.
Why don't we see more miracles today in church? Have the days of miracles ended?
There are some churches that teach that the supernatural healings, etc., stopped after the Bible got written. I don't believe that. God is still doing miracles today. I'm going to give you an example. One of the volunteers that does our mailings for this ministry had COVID and had a horrible stroke. The doctor said to her husband, pull the plug. He said, no. She is up, walking around mentally. I mean, she was out of it for, was it months? Mm-hmm. And now she's up and around. And we have another person who is on our board for this ministry. He had a stroke about 5 months ago, hasn't spoken a word for 4 months. Now he's talking. His mind is clear as it can be. He's got a praying wife, and she got lots of people mm-hmm. praying for him. So miracles still do happen.
I think of that verse, Luke 1:37, for with God nothing is impossible.
Amen. Amen.
Answer to prayer.
That's right.
Someone told me that if I have strong faith, God will always heal. Mm-hmm. Is this true?
Well, the person on our board has a very fervent Christian nurse, which I appreciate, but she is just of the belief that if you name it and claim it and believe it, it has to happen. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think sometimes God takes us home. And it says in the Old Testament, now when Elisha became ill of the illness of which he was to die. Mm-hmm. Elisha's faith was fine. He raised people from the dead. And Timothy, Paul says, take a little wine for the sake of your frequent stomach ailments. So I take medicine. I go to the doctor. I pray for healing. I know God can do it. But he also takes us home, mm-hmm. and we get healed in heaven.
Amen.
Yeah.
If I need prayer for healing of my physical ailment, where can I go to get that?
Yeah.
Do you all churches pray for healing?
Well, James chapter 5 says, if you're sick, call for the elders of your church and have them anoint you with oil. So when I'm sick, I want to follow that to the T, James 5:16. I say to the pastor, could you get an elder and could you anoint me with oil and pray for me? A lot of churches don't do that. Mm-hmm. That's too bad. I think what I encourage people to do at the end of every worship service, have elders up front and say to the congregation, if you need prayer, here are the elders, come up and get prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got only 1 minute left, Mona, so we better wrap it up.
Do we have time for one more?
Okay, real quick.
Can I pray in faith and claim someone for Christ and know for sure they will be saved?
Well, I used to kind of believe that. Now I'm more of praying for my prayer list and believing God can save them. Will he save them? Often he has. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we put it in the hands of God.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Well, we've got just a few seconds left.
And just everybody, you want to watch more of our shows for free, you just go to pastorstudy.org. All of our TV shows are there for free. If you'd like to support us with your prayers or other ways, you can go to that website and people support us through that. Or you can see our address in a minute and people support us that way too. There you go.
And Luke 1:37, for with God nothing is impossible. Stand in faith, keep praying. See you next week on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.